It's an awesome day today. I'm really enjoying it being together and that we could baptize Amis and welcome Jeff over here. It's just an awesome day. Before I'm going to start preaching what the Lord has put on my heart, let's first pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children. We want to come and listen to you, what the Father has got to say to us. And we come in humility. It's a privilege, Father, that we can call you Father, that we know that Jesus Christ died for us at the cross, and that through him that we can come to you. We want to come like children and sit at your feet and listen to you, Father. And we pray that you're going to give us words which are going to encourage us, which are going to help us, and which are going to bring us closer and closer to you. As what we could sing in the songs as well, you are our God, you're an awesome God, you're a great God. We cannot describe it in words. Reveal yourself this afternoon to us, Father, that we can understand a little bit more how great and how awesome you are. And I pray as well, if there are any other thoughts in our minds which are keeping us busy, things of doing at work or during the week, I cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can only focus on what you're giving to us, Lord, that we can receive what you put in our hearts. I pray that in Jesus' name. The first slide is showing choices. We all have got to make choices. We've got to make big decisions, small decisions. A small decision in the morning, you can decide what type of socks you're going to wear or what type of clothes you're going to wear. It's not really important. It's a small decision. You've got decisions which have got a little bit more a type of an effect. It means if you buy a car, you're going to drive that car for a certain period. If you take out an insurance, you're stuck to that insurance for a certain period. But then there are also choices which even have got more effect on our lives. And those are choices like, where am I going to stay? With whom am I going to marry? How many children are we going to have? And then also, to whom or what am I going to study? Those type of decisions have got a very big influence in our lives. And those decisions we've got to make continuously on a daily basis. And God created us to make decisions. If we take a look at the creation, if there's one thing which I think a lot of people question is, why did God make us that we can make our own decisions? Because it's like making a computer who can make his own computer, who can write his own program. It doesn't work like that. There's still what we would think, there must be something which is controlling it. But the Lord is giving us that opportunity that we can make choices. We can make good choices, we can make bad choices, but we make choices the whole day and whole life long. We make continuously choices. Adam and Eve also made choices. They were the first ones who had that option of making a choice. They were walking with the Father, with God in the Garden of Eden, and I think it must have been beautiful weather over there, and I don't think they had this type of weather what we've got over here. And then they made a choice, but they made a wrong choice. Adam and Eve decided to eat from the fruit, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then they actually sinned because they did something wrong. The Lord told them beforehand, don't do that. But they did something wrong. They sinned, we call it. It's basically going against God's will. It means that we are doing something which we haven't been made for. We're missing the mark, and that's what's called sin. And as a result of that, as a result of that decision, the relationship between God and Adam and Eve, which was awesome, it was broken. They were separated from each other. And Adam and Eve had to go out of the Garden of Eden. There was a relationship, but that relationship wasn't what it has been before. That relationship was broken. And then God made a plan to restore that relationship again. And that relationship can be restored through Jesus Christ, what we can read in John 3:16 as well. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, I think I've got a problem with the microphone. And And then we just carry on. Can we carry on? Right, there we've got it. Coming back again to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So that's a plan what God had. He sent Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to the earth so that that relationship which was broken between us and God, that it could be restored again. We serve a restoring God. He wants to restore that relationship again. He wants to that we can have a relationship with him again because he created us. He's interested in us. If you make something and it's a product of your own, you care about it. Those who are parents over here and who have got children, there's a certain feeling which you've got for your children which you cannot share with somebody else. You maybe care about the one staying next door, the child, but your own child, you cannot describe it. It's the same what God has got. He loves us as well. And he wants to be with us. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ could come to the earth and that he could restore that relationship again. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Jesus Christ came down. Next week we are celebrating it, the birth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't on the 25th of December, but it's not critical. Jesus Christ was born. He came to this earth so that we can have a relationship with the Father again. He died, what we celebrate in Easter. He was resurrected, and he went up to the Father where he is at the moment, sitting on the right-hand side. But being over there, he also sent then the Holy Spirit, which we are celebrating with Pentecost again. The part of Scripture where I would like to talk about today is where Jesus is basically learning his disciples what they've got to do. Because they are going to be his representatives now. They are going to be his ambassadors now. The verses what we're going to take a look at, this is John 15 from 1 verses 8, or from 1 to 8. But Jesus is speaking then to the disciples. And it's a type of a training process where he's busy with. Because he's going to be murdered at Jerusalem, not that far away, not that far from there. And then he knows, then he's not going to be there. Then the disciples are going to carry on. And the disciples have got to carry on where Jesus actually started with it. With Jesus started when he was approximately 30, and the disciples have been with him for approximately 3 years plus. So they've been in-house training. But they went the whole day along with him. So they eat with him, they drank with him, they slept with him, they saw all the miracles, they had to do miracles themselves. So they really have been an internship. They had an in-house training, if I can put it that way. So the part where we're going to look at this afternoon is part of that training, what Jesus has got before he's going to be murdered, before he's going to leave the disciples over there. So Jesus was preparing the disciples. He also did a few practical things over there, which are known to us. Washing the feet, that he did. And he also had a last communion with them. And then also Jesus gave a new commandment. And I said, just as I loved you, you also have to love one another. And then in John 14, he also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there he is explaining again, if we want to have that relationship with the Father, that relationship can be restored. But the only way is Jesus. We've got to accept Jesus as our Savior. First, what we're going to start with is John 15, verse 1, where it says, I am the true vine, and the Father is the wine dresser. I don't know how many people from you know a little bit about agriculture, know a little bit about wine and vineyard and branches and fruit and those type of, and grapes, those type of things. I'll show you a few pictures just now. So Jesus is making a statement. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. This is one of the seven I am statements which Jesus was making. And John again, if we take a look at John, we also had a look a few weeks back at Revelations, the number seven being repeated many times with John. And the number 7 is a perfect number. God created heaven and earth in 6 days, plus he rested one. That's 7, and that makes a full circle. And up to now, we still have got a week of 7 days. It's never been changed. And it will always remain the same. Jesus made a few I am statements. The first one is, I am the bread of life, which means we've got to get power from him. We've got to get strength from him. He said, I am the light of the world. We've been singing it a few times. The verse what you got as well, Amis, is also, be the light. He's the light of the world in this dark world where the devil is trying to, as you say, to make any plan what God has got. He wants to make it, he wants to break it down. We can be the light together with Jesus of the world. He also said, I am the door of the sheep. When the sheep sleep in the evening, there's a wall which has got only one entrance. The wall is protecting them, that the animals cannot be attacked by any predator. But then the shepherd will sleep in that doorway. And Jesus is doing exactly the same. He's protecting us. He's sleeping in the doorway that nothing and nobody can come to us. He's a good shepherd. Shepherd is always walking in front of the sheep. And as the sheep are grazing, they're looking down. They actually cannot see him, but they can hear him. So they hear the shepherd continuously. They hear him talking. They hear him singing, they hear him whistling, and that's how they are following it. So Jesus is also a good shepherd for us. I am the resurrection and life. Jesus was resurrected. He's stronger than death. And he's the life, eternal life, what we can get from him. And I just now said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way that we can have that relationship with the Father restored, that we can have eternal life with him. One statement what he's making over here, I am the true vine. And it's actually remarkable if we take a look at a vine. A golden vine is often seen as the people from Israel as well. So it was something which wasn't uncommon from them. It was something which they understood. They knew what it was, a golden vine. And a golden vine apparently was also on the wall, the entrance of the temple as well, in gold. So it wasn't something totally unknown to the disciples over there. If we take a look at the vine as well, it's one of the noblest of all the trees. And the fruit what you get from it is the most abundant fruit. And then also that what the vine is doing is spending all his strength what he's got on producing fruit. So it's not creating a lot of leaves, but it creates a lot of fruit. What the vine is also doing is producing fruit from very poor soil. So they sometimes say, the worse the soil, the better the vine. But that is what the vine is also doing. And then it also is that the branches, once they have been cut off, you can actually do nothing with that wood. You cannot make furniture from it. It's not like oak. You've got to actually throw it away and burn it. There's not much what you can do with it. I don't even think you can make a fire with it that you can barbecue on it. I've never tried, but that is even possible like that, yeah. So a vineyard is then a plantation of the grape-bearing vines, growing mainly for winemaking. So most of the grapes are being used for winemaking. It's also for raisins, what we use in our food as well, and just as to nibble on it. The grape, table grapes, also quite a lot of them. And then non-alcoholic grape juice is also being made out of the vine. And then the vines, they can... There we've got some pictures. The vines, they can grow up to 120 years. But it's approximately after 20 years that the quality of what they produce is getting better. And then they also say is that your crop is getting a little bit smaller, but you're getting more a concentrated, intense wine after 20 years. So the vine really has got a long period what it is producing. The one on the left-hand side, if we can just go back with the one picture, there we can see when it starts in spring, when the new branches are coming out, and there we can see the vine, which is over there. Then we can see some of the fruit on the right-hand side. And if we go to the next picture, that could be taken. I think it's maybe Italy or somewhere. I don't know where that picture has been taken. And the one at the right-hand bottom, this is the one picture I took myself of my middle son, who has been working on a farm for a period, where those fruits were grapefruits, which were table fruits which were exported. And if you take a look at the amount of work what is done to make sure that the fruits are correct, size is concerned, sugar content is concerned, getting enough light, cutting out unnecessary leaves and so on and so on. It's a lot of work which is done over there. And then it also says, that last part, what I just read now, and then I'm the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. And another translation is say, my Father is the husbandman, which means that he's the owner of that piece of ground. He's the farmer. He's that interest. He wants to see fruit from that vine. So that's what Jesus is making then, the statement. He's the vine, and then the Father is the vine dresser. He's the owner of the farm, the owner of the plant which has got to produce fruit then. In John 15, verses 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it bear more fruit. Now he's talking about the vine dresser. He's talking about the husbandman. He's talking about the owner of the farm. So that person takes a look at the vine. And if the vine is not producing anything, then he takes the branches and he takes them off if they are not producing. And if they are producing, then he is cutting them. So he's basically doing then two things. He's removing the unfruitful branches and he's pruning the other branches to produce more. And then the farmer always wants to have that more fruit is going to be produced. And then the fruit, if we take a look at what spiritual life is concerned, then we can compare the fruits with Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23. Where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. So those are the fruits what we actually should have, the fruits what we should have in our lives. There's one who said, you actually should read it a little bit different. You should put behind love, you should put a colon, a double punt. So it means, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then you get the words, what actually mean love. Love is joy. Love is peace. Love is long-suffering. Love is kindness. Love is goodness. Love is faithfulness. Love is gentleness. Love is self-control. And against such, there's no law. So that is a fruit, what we should be producing. Difficult fruit, but we should be producing it. We're seeing it in the normal way. In life outside, we see that people are having that type of fruit or something of that fruit, but it isn't fruit which has got an everlasting result, if I can put it that way. And it's not based on Christian principalities, of Christian principles. It's based on something, what they feel, what they would like to do for something else, but once they die, it's finished. It hasn't got any value afterwards. But if we are producing fruit, it has got a long lasting effect, and we will come to that a little bit later. Fruit is having a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, the vine. If we're going to produce fruit, then it basically means we've got contact with Jesus Christ and we can produce fruit. Fruit is also showing that the gifts of the Spirit in our lives, that they are operational, so that the gifts of the Spirit can work through us and that they can be a result of us being connected up to the vine. Fruit is showing love to people around us and inviting them into the kingdom of the Father by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the fruits what we're doing is not for ourselves, but the fruits is actually for the other people around it. Like Jesus also said, as you loved me, love the ones around me. And that's actually the fruit what we should show. John 15 verses 3. Then Jesus is talking to his disciples. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Jesus is telling then the disciples that the husbandman, the vine dresser, the Father, has already taken the branches away which are not producing, has already pruned the disciples because they've been with him. So continuously they've been about certain things which were blocking the producing the fruit that has been taken away. The Lord has been speaking about it, and he's mentioning it continuously, like he says over there, I've spoken to you. So the disciples have already been pruned in the period what they've been with Jesus, and the disciples were ready to produce fruit. Like I said, it was quite close to the end of the time when Jesus was going to leave them, so he that was one of the last talks that he had with them, and he was telling them, you're ready to produce fruit, you can carry on, you can produce the fruits that I would like you to produce. 15 verses 4, and that is the words which I got what I had to preach about, and that is, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot be a fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now that word abide is something which is very important. It's not just link. There's something much more than that. It's much deeper. If we go to the Greek word where it says meno, and meno means to stay. It means to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand. And the word which gives for me the best type of explanation of that word, of abide, is remain. So we continuously have got to remain in contact with the Father. We cannot just make it a Sunday visit or a Wednesday evening for small group, but it's something which we continuously have got to keep that contact, which means the first thing you think about in the morning when you wake up, it's talking about the Lord, speaking to the Lord, have communication with Him. The last thing which you do in the evening before you fall asleep, give all the honor to the Father for what He's been doing to you that specific day. And there He says, abide in me. And abide in me, it means that you've got that relationship with Christ, that you can trust Him, that you can pray, that you can talk to Him, that you're obedient, that you're doing what He's asking you to do, as what Amis has been also obedient to what the Lord has been asking her to do, and she got baptized. And that you get joy out of it as well. And joy really means that it is pleasure, that's something which you're really enjoying. You will not be a member of a tennis club if you're not enjoying it. Then you will say, sorry, it's not worthwhile, and you will stop paying your fees and you go. But having a relationship with a Father should give you joy, should give you such a rest and a peace that you say, I don't want to have anything else. That's for me, it's such a lot of value. And this is what that abide in me and I abide in you, so that you've got that connection. But then the Lord is saying it again first, abide in me. So we've got to take that step. We've got to make that step and we've got to make contact with Him. The Lord is a gentleman. He's not going to come and say, okay, you go to heaven, you go to heaven, sorry, you go to heaven. No, He's giving us that option. He's giving that invitation to each and every one. And then we can decide if we want to make that choice. Like I said in the beginning, we, each and every one, can make that choice. Do we want to accept that invitation? Do we want to say, yes, I want to have a personal relationship with the Father? Do I want to abide in Him, that He can abide in me? And then, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, if you take a branch on its own and it's not connected up to the vine, it cannot produce anything, because there's no supply of nutrition, there's no supply of water, there's nothing. It has got to be planted in a vine, otherwise there won't be any fruit coming from it. And then to abide remains, that is to remain in union, to maintain a living communion, to maintain an unbroken fellowship with each other. And that is actually so awesome. If we take a look at the word abide as well, John has been using it 50 times in the book of John, and he used it 15 times. Sorry, he used it 11 times in John 15. And that word, for me, it's really when I started looking it up, and that remaining, that continuously contact, that's so important, what we've got to learn from it today. The next one is John 15, verses 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches, which shows that he treated the disciples themselves as those people who are going to bear the fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches who are linked in me. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The branches on its own, like in the previous verse as well, on its own, they cannot produce anything. They've got to abide in the vine. John 15, verses 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. This is actually very harsh, but it is true. If we're not taking a decision to be abided, to be remaining in Jesus Christ, then we are not going to bear fruit. And then the father of the husband, father, the overseer, is going to take then those branches. And those branches are going to, they're not going to mean anything, like I said before. The wood cannot be used for furniture, anything like that. And he gathers them and he throws them into the fire. And this is unfortunately hell. It is the fire, what he's talking about over here, the fire of the hell. If we're not going to produce what the Lord wants us to produce, what we should produce as the people being linked up, then it's going to be hell for us. And yes, there are people who are preaching and saying burn or turn, of turn or burn. I don't want to, I feel that we've got to do the love side and say Jesus really loves us. What we've seen just now, all the fruit of the Spirit, what we've seen over there. And that's also the way what I would like to present it. That's that option, that invitation, that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and that we can have a relationship with Him. And then John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. What he's saying over there, you will ask what you desire, means that we are going to pray. We're going to ask what we're needing. And then he says it will be done for you. We've got to be a little bit careful that if I'm going to ask something which I think I need, but which doesn't fit in God's plan, I'm not going to get it. I can ask for a Mercedes 450 SLC red so that I can be on time over here on Sundays for the sermon, but I don't think I will get it from the Lord, and I don't need it. It's not in His plan. But if I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for the neighbor next door, and I say, Lord, please open up his eyes, his spiritual eyes, that he can see what is happening. And I pray and I continuously pray. And I ask for an option that at a certain time I maybe can share the gospel with him. I can guarantee you it's going to happen. And for those people over here who've got a relationship with the Lord, somebody has been praying for you. Somebody has been praying for me. Maybe I know who it is. Maybe there have been more praying for me. I don't know. And that is what we've got to do. That is what Jesus is saying there. You will ask what you desire, and it will be, and it shall be done for you. But it is that thing what is going to be according to His plan. If we're going to ask something which is totally out of God's plan, we're not going to get it. And praying is coming and talking. Prayer is, as I'm speaking now, it is just that you can sit down, you can close the door behind closed doors, and you've got an intimate relation with the Father, and then you can share with Him what is on your heart. You can tell about your desires, your goals, your ambitions, your sins, things which you've done wrong, which you can say, Father, please forgive them, your failures, your hopes, your struggles, your burdens, and that you also love Him. Because it's so many times that we've got certain things in our lives that we say, I don't know how to handle it, I don't know what to do with it. But I've also learned that I've got to just become quiet, close the door and pray and say, Lord, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what it actually means. I don't know why this is happening and that sometimes bad things are happening. But I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm sharing it with Him and I'm leaving it over there. And He's a Father and He's helping you then to get through those type of stories. And that is awesome because I have got a relationship. I've got a living relationship with Him. I can share it with Him. It's not something what I've got to sort out myself. I can share it with the Father because He is really interested in finding it out and He wants to get me rid of it so that I can carry on. The last verse says, by this my Father is glorified, that you will bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is glorified not only by praise and worship alone, but also by His followers who are bearing much fruit for the advancement of the kingdom on earth. By this my Father is glorified, and He's actually referring back to the previous verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will pray, you will ask, and it will be done for you. So by this my Father is glorified, that we abide in him and that God's word are abiding in us, that we can bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. And this is then Jesus speaking to his disciples. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to remain in me, if you're going to remain in contact with me, then you're going to produce fruit. So this is also the, I nearly want to say, is what sequence has got to be followed. It's nearly the egg and the chicken type of question. Must we first abide and then we're going to get the fruit? Or is it that we, abide, or must we, is it the abide part that we must do that first, or that we must say, okay, must we be connected to God and then we will have the fruit? We've got to be abiding in him. That has got to be done first. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we are connected up to Jesus, the fruit is going to be automatic result of that. Out of our own, if we're going to try and to do those own fruits, and if we're going to try and make those own fruits, it's going to be empty. It's not going to have everlasting value. It's something which is going to be short-lived, and then it will be finished. If we take a look at the fruit, what we can see here in John 15 is that the first fruit where Jesus was talking about, it was in verses 2-8. Then he's talking about fruit, then he's talking about more fruit in 2b, and then he's talking about much fruit. So that there's an increase. And this is what the Father also wants us, that when it is pruned, when the branches are taken out, that fruit is being produced. And fruit is a result of life. It's not of an activity. It's not a matter of that if I'm doing certain things, then fruit will be generated. It's the same if the plant is waving its branches. It's not producing fruit. It really has got to grow. It really has got to start. It really has got to live. And it's the same in our life as well. I can jump the whole day, but it's not going to create fruits. I've got to have a living relation with the Father, that life that is creating fruits. And then the commandment is also not to produce fruit, but the first thing is that we should abide, in Christ. The most important thing, an important thing over here is that Jesus himself wants to use us to produce fruit. He needs us to produce fruit. So we are the link between the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and the fruit. And that option is given to us. We can go to the Father, we can link up with him, we can remain in him, and then we're going to produce fruit. John mentioned in his gospel over here, in the John gospel, he mentioned the word faith 96 times. That's more than all the other three gospels together. So that's a very important part. John, the gospel of John is also different from what the other gospels are. The other gospels are telling more about what happened, what time it happened. And John is more about relationship. It's more about what is happening in a person's heart. John is also mentioning only 7 miracles, of which 2 are new. The others are also been mentioned in the other Gospels. But then if we go back to the word faith, then he has got 3 stages of faith we actually can see. The first stage of faith is that we just acknowledge it, that we believe it, but then it stops more or less over there. It's the same with the devil, with the demons. They acknowledge that Jesus is over there, but then it stops. They do not do anything further with it. And then the next step, or the next level, if we can put it that way, if we take a look at the descriptions of faith, because they can be put in 3 categories, the next one is that we're going to act on it. Then we're going to make it part of us. We believe in Jesus Christ. We have got confidence in him. We believe that he's the truth. That is the next level. And then the third level, that's this abide. That is then we continuously stay in contact with him. And now I'm a little bit on thin ice now, because I'm not that good what language is concerned. But apparently in the Greek, they've got a grammar which says present continuous, which is difficult to actually translate it into English. If we take then the John 3:16 and we put that words, we try to put it in English, we try to put it in there, then it should say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whoever goes on believing him, so who goes on carrying on believing in him, will never perish, but will go on having eternal life. So the message what I've got today is, we've got to remain, we've got to abide, we've got to continuously be in contact with the Father if we want to produce fruit. It's not just going to be switch on and switch off. It is a switch on continuously, so that our whole life has been saturated with Christ, that we have continuously, that we can have a relationship with me, with him. Can we just stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity again that we could hear this afternoon, that we've got to abide in you. And if we abide in you, then we can produce fruit. And that fruit is going to be of benefit for the people around us. And that fruit is love. It's all included in that word love. And this is what I pray, Lord, that our actions, what we're going to do, are not going to be isolated, Lord, but it will be continuously, that we will abide in you, that we will be part of you, that we will be remaining in you. And as our eyes are closed, I just want to put an invitation forward. If you heard this message this afternoon and you say, but I've never actually made a connection with the Father. I never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never made that decision in my life. And I would like to make the decision this afternoon. Then I'm giving you the option now to put up your hand so that you can react on it. And if you are in the position that you said, yes, I more or less, felt that I was one of those branches which was close by to being cut off because I was not producing. But I want to recommit again. I want to say this afternoon, I want to recommit again to the Father. I want to say, Jesus, I want to abide in you. I want to remain in you. I want to have continuously a relationship with you, that I can show fruit to the people around me. Then I'm also giving you an option that you can put up your hand if you say, yes, you would like to recommit again. You would like to make the decision this afternoon that you want to recommit to God, and to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Thank you, Father, that you are God, that you created heaven and earth, and that we can have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Father, that ticket, Jesus Christ, is not something what we just buy, that we buy on the internet. Something which goes very deep. We've got to make a change in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that that change what we're making in our lives is going to be a remaining change. That we will continuously abide in you, remain in you, be linked up to you, and have a relationship with you. Because that relationship will last forever and ever. That's not going to stop when we're going to die. Then we're going to be with you in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Father, that this can be part of our life. That we can have a living relationship with you, a restored relationship with you. And we thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen.